true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I'm a big burp fan. Do you know this about me?
I'm glad we had this time together.
Eric yesterday said, he goes, you have a great sense of humor about burps. I really appreciate that about you. I was like, deep talks, babe. Deep talks. How's it going over there?
It's all right. I've had a sad all morning. Just some weird little scheduling snafus that just left me in a funk.
Me too.
And I just, and I'm like, I mean, I'm caught in the hamster wheel of like,
I am right there with you.
And it's just, and I know it's all petty bullshit. Nothing's actually really that wrong, but I can't fucking share. That's interesting to hear that you're in that too. Are the stars crashing together? What's going on?
Well, one thing I can say is I did a 3-card spread this morning that was, okay, whenever I do a 3-card spread, I always ask if it's for the viewers and me, or just me. Because I don't want to do a reading for people that's actually just for me. And today it was the viewers and me. And the spread was, the recent past was getting an education. The present moment was the dry desert where nothing's working and it feels like you're in a lifeless dry desert.
Uh-huh.
The outcome is like abundance and riches and everything you've ever wanted. That's the outcome. So I'm like, okay. Certainly true for me, the desert part. I feel like I've been getting a lot of no's from a lot of directions and then a lot of like homework to do. And I'm just like, okay, well, everything's a no and I get to do more work. Great.
Yeah. I mean, the world's a fucking dumpster fire, but like I haven't been sad.
We did just have the full moon
3 days ago when it was also a dumpster fire. Like, I'm sad today and it's definitely personal and it's definitely specific to my smaller reality, but
what are we talking about here? Tell me more.
I won't go details. Yeah, it's boring, dumb details, but like, well, I think I can share that like Denise is also like, God, I can't shake this sadness about this stupid thing. And neither of us, we're not mad at each other. There's no nothing. There's no like, nobody did anything wrong or really fucked up, but it's just like, we're both like, why am I still feeling, and it's sad is the feeling. Why am I feeling sad about this thing? It feels, and it's funny because like, I'm not sad because they told me they were sad. We'd already talked and everything was fine. And then I was sitting around like hours later, I'd even done a meditation and I was still like, I feel sad. Then I got a message and she was like, I feel sad still. And I was like, okay, what is going on?
It's about something between you guys or?
It's like a scheduling time, sharing time, figuring out thing. And I made an error in like, oh, I thought this was that and now it's that and this. And it's just an error. Like nobody's wrong. Nobody's giving anybody a guilt trip. There's none of that going on. Like, it's just like, why did this silly little error make us both feel really sad? And that makes me sad too.
I mean, really, for real, the full moon is not a small energy. I had like a whole fucking very crazy thing happen on Saturday. What day is today? Today's Monday. Okay. Not Sunday night, Saturday night. I'm going to say this story because I think it might be related to everything we're talking about.
Good. Because I want to know why you're sad too.
Oh, yeah. So Saturday night was the full moon at its apex. I was talking in my 3-card spread today about how your relationship to moon, the moon and fullness or not, and you know, different phases of the moon has a lot to do with the astrology at your birth. Like, I have moon and sun debilitated in my chart.
It's a brutal word.
So it's like, sun's not a helper to me and neither is the moon. It's not great. So I have to be connected to spirit a lot. Otherwise, I'm just kind of fucked by the world. And that's part of the gift of it, right? Is that motivates me to do my spiritual work, but it's a pain in the fucking ass. So when the moon is full, everybody's always like, I'm going to do a moon bath, moon hike, moonlight date night. And I'm like, cool, I'll be under my covers if I'm lucky, doing something spiritual, otherwise just binging on episodes of, you know, the Golden Girls to elevate my mood a little. This Saturday was a really interesting one because, as I've probably talked about on here, I've been using NET a lot lately, which stands for Neuro-Emotional Technique.
Okay.
And it's the holding of different points on the wrist, different meridian points, basically acupressure points, to process emotions, old emotions, and that are associated with different organs and glands in the body. So it's a way of detoxing emotions out of the literal physical form. And it's really powerful, but I'm really blown away. I've already introduced it in my Star Beings class, and I'll be teaching it in my next OMA class. And it's really powerful. The woman I'm seeing does it with me, and I've just been like, cool, teach me that. And we've been meeting. I think I talked about that here. And she's been teaching me the whole thing, and it's fucking cool. Okay, so I believe that because I've been doing all that, that plus the fucking full moon, Saturday night, the middle of the night, I wake up around 4 a.m., sweating. First, I'm like, ooh, I have the farts. Cool. I'll go take a poop. No big deal. Go to the bathroom, do a little pooping, do some farting. And I'm like, should be all better. All of a sudden, the sweats, the room starts to spin, nausea, and every joint in my body hurt. And it felt, and then I could feel like in the sort of like the veins or the meridians, I'm not sure, between each joint, becoming incredibly sensitive and really uncomfortable. And it was that same set of symptoms I had when I got the COVID vaccine.
Uh-huh.
It was also similar symptoms when I just had COVID. So if you had added, I can't breathe in my lungs, it would have been COVID, but I didn't have that part happening. It was just incredible sensitivity through all my meridians, incredible joint pain, nausea and fever, and like rolling around at 4 a.m. on the ground, unable to get comfortable. I had to lay next to a heater with it directly on my body, 2 blankets over me on the ground. Couldn't be in the bed, had to be on the ground. It was bad. I ended up using one of these points, holding it and doing the thing you do with the whole protocol. And it completely fixed it. It took it from I was at a 10. Like, do I tell Eric? Do we go to the hospital? It was bad. And then it went to a 2, and then it went to a nothing. And then I was like, cool, good night. I looked in the morning at which point I had done and what it's associated with, and it's bladder kidney. But the deeper teaching of this particular point is one that I keep processing and keep coming up against with in my sessions that I'm doing for me. Here are some, I'm going to read this to you, examples of the energies and the emotions associated with these, with the bladder kidney. Paralyzed will, fear, dread, bad memory, impending doom. And every time I go see Lisa, my doctor lady who I do this stuff with, we get impending doom comes up every time.
Huh.
And it's like living in my bladder kidneys. So it was like a little mini impending doom bladder kidney attack that was mini, only in that about half an hour into it, I was able to process it through, which is great, but it sucked. It does give me hope because it makes me think of my problem with flying. You know, turbulence. I'm like, maybe this is what had to happen. I have to detox the impending doom out of my kidneys and fucking bladder in order, like, maybe that's, I don't know. So that happened. And then from then on, that was just like a tough series of moments. I got like, I realized that I need a loan for my staging business. Like, it would just be the smartest thing to do. So then I have to like, there's just upfront costs. Like, I could just not get a loan and just go from here, but I'm not going to be able to actually make money in the way that I want to without a certain kind of inventory. And I need more of it in order to do it well. And I can't get more of it without a loan.
Mm.
I have some information about what to do. And it's just all this steps to do. Go to the court and give them this form and then mail it to the place and then show us all your financials and in this way. And then you have to do a business plan and then you have to do it. There's like all this like shit that is like not my forte, right? I'm just like, do it, make it happen. Let's go. But when there's like forms and people and go to the courthouse, it all just starts to feel like overwhelm. So that was that. And then I asked someone, like a family member, for some help. They just straight up said no. That was painful.
Yeah.
And then I went to the theater where the show is going to happen in February, March, and was like, hey, so can I do a fundraiser there? And they were like, absolutely. And I was like, can you be there, endorse me, and let me market to your people? And they were like, ooh, no. And they were like, very reasonably, they said, we've been burned in the past where we supported people in that way and introduced them to our following, and then they turn out to not make good work or be very difficult to work with. So we want to do this project together, put it all in your lap,
yeah,
see how it is to work with you, see if the product is any good, and then we'll start to talk about how we can integrate and how we can help you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is very reasonable. Thank you so much. Bye. Deep sadness.
Yeah. And does the sadness feel out of scale?
If, I mean, asking me that is like, compared to what?
Yeah, that's true. That's the thing I'm noticing. It's like, I'm bummed, as opposed to like, well, with my situation, it's like, it could just be like, that sucks. But we're both kind of like, that sucks. That sucks. God damn.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like, but listen, if we had that 3-card spread combined with I feel this way and you feel this way, that's bigger than.
And Denise feels this way. And yeah.
Theoretically, if the Akashic Records are a thing, everyone who saw my video today feels this way.
Yeah.
So like something's going on. There's a.
Something's, I mean.
To me, I can't not connect it to the moon, because for me, it's always connected to the moon, my moods.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't. You don't know which planet this full moon is in, do you?
Not a clue. You can look it up. What planet was the last full moon in?
Thank you. I'm sorry. I meant to say which sign. Which sign was the full moon in?
Oh, I don't know what that. Yeah, sorry. That's
just ask her. Ask her that.
I'll ask her again. What sign was this last full moon in? Aries. No, that was the September full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was what we just had. Duh. No.
No.
It's an October full moon.
Mm-hmm.
October 28th, full moon in Taurus.
Oh, see, there you go. Fuck. Fucking Taurus.
Here, I'll read what this thing says, just for shits and giggles.
Uh-huh.
Your safety depends on the need for stability. Safety comes right up. Which is not easy to satisfy now. You have to learn to accept change as part of your life. The basic problem is finding your own self-respect in order to ensure that you do not mistakenly seek it in material things. When you accept yourself for who you are, it will become easier for you to find peace and tranquility in the outside world. Neck, larynx, throat, vocal cords, thyroid gland, tonsils, Adam's apple.
That resonates for me.
Those organs are now more sensitive, so provide them with extra care, but not kidney or bladder.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Kidney, bladder is what's up for me.
Yeah.
But I was having sensitivity in all those areas you just named.
Mm.
Well, fucking Taurus also has to do with like, it's very much about like home and earth and rational and grounded. And it's very earth in your body. It's all about the body and the slowness of the earth.
I also got my, go ahead, finish your thought. I apologize.
Well, and like what's smart in earthly terms, moving slowly the way the smart, intelligent earth would, not like what's like fun and exciting and we move forward and we have like Sagittarian, Aquarian, you know, Aries. No, none of that. It's all like intelligent, like a flower grows slowly and wisely. Fuck you.
Fuck you and your carer. Taking care to do it right and carefully.
Hate it.
I want to flash, shoot from the hip. Pew! I also got my booster, my COVID booster, like last week sometime.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely didn't kick my ass, but it like first night I was a little tired and didn't sleep well. Second night, I actually also got in a mood where I was something had happened and I was like, am I holding that for that person? Or is it just me like tripping balls on my body freaking out? And it kind of felt like the latter. Just I was in my body. It's like, but then like a few nights later, my back itched, but from the inside, you know, the internal itch thing.
Oh.
You ever felt that feeling? I was like, do I have shingles? What is going on? Like all up and down my back just itched so bad. And I had just worn this suit that I just got from Amazon. I apologize. And I was like, I don't know. It could be shit cheap material. Maybe it had just like infected my body. But how do you deal with an all back itch? Like, what do you do?
Also, I don't think I actually know what itch from the inside feels like.
I just say it was from the inside because it didn't like, it was like somewhere between a tingle and an itch, you know, like needly, it was like a needly itch.
But so when you would scratch it on the outside, it didn't help?
It's hard to scratch. I don't know. It's my back.
Right.
It helped to like, Like I took a shower and that helped temporarily. And then I like put a soft shirt on and kind of lay in bed and kind of moved around a little bit and it kind of helped. But really I just had to sleep it off.
Weird.
But it felt like, you know, alien DNA related.
Yeah. See, to me, that feels more vaccine related than just like your coat or whatever.
Yeah. It's just another piece of my body, like running through its histamine reaction to new things. It was like, okay, tonight you're going to twitch in these organs and not feel like you can sleep. The next night, your skin's going to itch.
Did you get the Nova one?
I don't know. I just got the most recent bivalent one. Oh, you mean which brand?
Yeah.
Not the Nova Ring one. No.
The Nova Ring?
The Nova. I didn't get a Nova Ring injected in my arm, if that's what you're asking. Is that?
Do you have a vagina now?
I do.
Oh, where is it?
I mean, it's in a box. It's a pocket vagina.
Oh, it's not on your back? Is that where you're itchy?
No, it's like a thing you plug in. It's a masturbatory aid. Is that what you were asking?
No, I thought maybe you had a vagina on your back. That
which
would
is
make
why
more
I needed
sense.
To get a Nuva ring.
Which is why it was itching.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to trim up a little.
It's because I had just shaved the pubes and they were growing back.
That's it.
What is happening?
Things were punchy, thank God. I'd rather be punchy than fucking sad.
Than punched?
Than sad. Yeah,
true. It does feel good to just get a little goofy.
What's up, y'all? It's Rami. Been falling off. I'm in Kentucky right now. Anyway, I was just thinking about my cousin. And so I don't have that much blood family. I am an only child. My father was an only child. My mother had one brother. In addition to that, there was a lot of just like general leaving of the places people were from, leaving behind people that they might have been blood related to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So like, but I got lots of chosen family, as anyone who listens to this podcast probably realizes. Anyway, I was thinking about my cousin. So my only uncle had two kids and they are grown. Like me. So I have two first cousins. But was it a year ago, a couple of years ago? I was found, thanks to Ancestry.com, by another cousin, first cousin. My uncle actually had another child when he was younger in college. And she was adopted. And her parents both passed away, and her mother's dying wish was find your blood family, and she got to it and found us, some of us, on Ancestry.com and 23andMe. Sadly, my uncle had recently passed away, so she did not get to meet her father, but she got to meet me and her half-siblings, and she is a kick. She is just fucking delightful. Oh my God. And it's, you know, not having much blood family means I don't have that many people I can look in the face of and say, oh, I see features that I recognize, you know, oh, I see this gesture and I recognize that gesture, you know, that kind of thing. So here's this person who was adopted and never knew, you know, her blood father or any of us, but here she is. Just a couple wild, wonderful examples. My uncle was a ham radio operator. He was really into it. And he always wanted one of his kids to follow in his footsteps and become a ham radio operator. And neither of them did. Well, of course, this new cousin I found is a ham radio operator. Another thing that's the same about the two of them is that my uncle would, his happy place was camping, just sleeping out under the stars, no tent, even if it was raining, even if it was cold. He just would just be like, you know, exposed in a sleeping bag under the stars. And that is also what my cousin prides herself in. Like, she, down to some very cold degrees, she will not even bother to pitch a tent. And she's just a kick. They could have laughed and joked together. So I'm sorry that they didn't get to meet. And the other genes in her look very different than my family do. Her coloring is very different. There's lots of things that are very different about her, but I can still look in her face and a little bit see my mom. And, you know, that's a pretty special experience. Rami's rules.
Is Rami arriving yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're here.
Whatever. You just
let them in.
Who cares?
Life is meaningless.
Who cares? Just let them in.
Now it's Rami's.
Hey, Rami. It's really great to see you. We love you. Rami's fucking here. Whatever.
Who cares?
Oh, God.
What are you doing? Jesus Christ.
Are you sad today?
Oh, God. What did I walk into? Jesus.
We're sad. We're both sad.
So funny. I was just reading something online that's fucking blowing my mind. And then you said that my mom taught something called emotional mastery, and somebody not, oh shit, I just messed up my, wait.
What do you mean?
Sorry, I lost you all. I lost you all.
What happened?
Hang on.
You de-zoomified us. There we are.
Sorry. Somebody sent me a link to a blog a student wrote about her emotional mastery course that I know nothing about because I was a kid and a teenager. I didn't care what my mom did. Anyway, I was just reading it, waiting for you to let me in. And it was talking about like how we choose our emotions. And so like it was this class in like teaching you how to emotional mastery. And the student was saying you can no longer like say that you're just in the grip of melancholy because you actually have like agency around it. Anyway, so that's what I was reading. And then you're like, are you sad? We're sad.
So it's our fault we're sad is what you're telling us. Cool.
Yeah, it's your fault. That's what I took from that.
And there's no hope and it'll always be like this forever.
No, because you have agency.
No.
But you suck at dealing with it. So
it's
your failure that you continue to be sad.
Oh, I got
Let's just have it stated. This is not at all what my mom taught. My mom did not teach Landmark. What are you talking about?
Yeah, thank you. Because that is some fucking... That is some toxic positivity, change your mind, change your feelings shit that I can't stand.
In my estimation, it is exactly that.
You funny.
For the listener, est was a movement in the 60s and maybe 70s, and then they got in trouble for some bad behavior, including...
They wouldn't let people go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and there was also, I think, some like higher up sleeping with lower downs.
What a surprise.
Situation. What a shocker. And then they went dormant, and I think maybe the person fled the country, the leader.
Earhart? What's his name?
It became...
And then they just became Landmark Forum.
Yeah.
But they're going to sue us now because we said that, but whatever.
What? Like, we have power over Landmark.
Ha ha.
Landmark's doing just fine with their white ass whitiness. Says the whitest lady around. I had some experiences this weekend of feeling really like not white at all. Like not at all part of the white hegemonic power group in this world. I vacillate. I get put, you know, the world projects onto you whatever it decides. And some days like I'm a privileged white lady and other days I'm a not that I'm like a Jew that we should hang on the cross. Like it really comes and goes, like how I am, like the reflection I get from reality. This weekend was one of those where I was like, not part of the hegemonic group. Oh, got it. Cool. Like personally, I think that's healthy for people to experience, but I mean, real healthy, but also not the easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the easiest.
Well, I'm sorry.
No.
Welcome to not being in power.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting what the world is going through. Yeah, I was saying to Cass before you came on, Rem, that like the full moon on Saturday, and then I had a weird medical thing happen as a result of it on Saturday evening, and then got a bunch of no's from people. It's just been a weird couple days that has me just which I know will pass and everything's fine. But right now I'm just owning it. Let's own it. Let's wallow in it and own it and fucking roll around in the mud of no.
No.
Yeah, rolling around in mud is actually really fun.
You would know. If anyone I know has recently rolled in mud, it would be you.
Maybe.
Right?
That might be.
Because you're visceral. You're in your body. You're always doing a dance, a cool like dance party in a mud pile in the middle of a desert with 80 people. And I'm like,
sounds amazing.
Rami didn't go to Burning Man this year.
That's a good point.
No, but I've been in mud in a desert.
Yeah.
It's true.
How's your show? You're doing a show. You're in Louisville.
Wait, hold on. Hey, everybody. It's Rami Margron, friend of the podcast of Rami's Rules. They're our guest today here on the podcast. How was that? Was that professional?
I don't care.
I know you don't.
I am in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
And some people say Louisville who live here. I don't know. Also, some people have thick Kentucky accents and some people don't. It's really interesting. And this is kind of the South and kind of the Midwest. And the river's right there, the Ohio River. I'm pointing. Doesn't matter. The Ohio River is right there. And on the other side was freedom if you were an enslaved person at a certain history. So like this was, and I think during the Civil War, this part of Kentucky fought on the side of the Union. So it's like, it's all mixed up right here. It's very interesting.
Wow, that is interesting. That's like not, yeah, that's like a dynamic location, it sounds like, historically.
It's very dynamic. Yeah. And of course, the bourbon.
Have you had any?
You can't not, like, if you just like, whoa, and then you accidentally sip some.
Comes out of taps. All the homes have like hot water, cold water, bourbon.
That's cool. I like that. Cool. And so how's the production been? Like, how's rehearsals? Tell us something good from the world beyond our sadness.
Well, I have to say it's great. Like, I am so relieved to be having a good experience.
Oh, what a nice thing.
Right. That's a real deal.
Say more.
It's also a lot of work. Like I have a lot to do.
All those, got to put all those lines in your brain?
Just shove them in there. And then I find myself like forgetting regular words because I've just squished as many words into my brain as I could.
The fights look amazing and chaotic and like brawls.
That's a brawl. It's a good ass brawl. Oh,
so fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And they're fierce. They're not like safe.
Gentle. They're not safe.
I mean, they're safe, but.
They're not unsafe. They just don't look safe. Like a lot of stage combat looks very safe.
Yeah.
Yep. I just saw. Okay. Well, I'm going to fucking say it. I just saw POTUS at Berkeley Rep. It's funny. It's good. It was great. I had a great time. A lot of women and non-binary folks in that show, which was fucking nice to fucking see. God damn it. And. There's a fair amount of fight choreography that I was like, wow. Like you could hear them counting. One, reach your hand out. Two, forehead goes here. Three, gently lay her down. And I was like, I am not frightened in any way by this fight at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, Berkeley Rep. I didn't like your fucking fight choreo. Sorry. You're doing fine. I think you could take a little criticism, Berkeley Rep.
Show's closed already. It's nothing. I saw it and I saw the same thing.
Oh, you did?
Although my friend got hurt, not in the fight, but in pushing the podium off stage as part of one of the crazy choreographic moments.
Yeah.
She's pushing it off stage and it just tipped over.
No.
And she like bruised the shit out of her leg and like, but then went kick, 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 kick with her feet from the off stage so that the audience would think that was supposed to be what it, you know, like, oh, ha, 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 that was funny. Because she didn't want the audience to go, oh, God, someone's hurt.
That was good of her.
Because that's what we do. We protect everyone else.
Yeah.
Which character was it?
The one who gets high as fuck and is tripping balls.
Oh, that's what a fun. Oh, what's her name went on for what's her name? Or it was what's her name?
Wow, I don't even know what's happening now.
God damn it.
Wait, was it a...
Louisa did understudy her, but did not go on for her.
So it was the original actress in that. What a fun fucking role that is.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So Rami, do you happen to know this show?
I do not.
So this character, there's no reason you would. I think it's pretty new and it's whatever. Anyway, this character was she's a skinny sort of like mousy, scared.
She's like the secretary to the president.
Who doesn't have, she's always doing like power poses to try to be stronger. She's like, I'm setting a boundary. And like, she's, it's really like a cute role. But then she accidentally ingests a bunch of drugs and then strips almost nude, like just strips down to her underwear and is tripping balls for three quarters of the show. So every scene is just her coming in some comedically hilarious, tripped out state of highness. Oh, it was really funny. It was great. That'd be a dreamy role to have.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're doing well, but you're busy and you got a lot of put a lot of words in your brain.
And also this full moon slash eclipse moment.
Yes.
Has been like, holy shit.
Exactly.
And also, I mean, I know, you know, this is part of why I'm on this episode with y'all, but like the veil is thin right now, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I've been like super aware of the dead, my dead, and they, you know, just kind of in lots of different ways.
Can you tell us about some of them?
Yeah. So Friday morning. Okay. Friday morning seems like ages ago now, I have to say. Today is Monday. Okay. So, but Friday morning was especially like that. So I was just really like, I went into really strongly thinking about each of my parents. So both of my parents have passed. That's not for the two of you, obviously, that's for everyone else listening. And so they both just came really forefront of my brain. And so I was doing some grieving. And then that led to two other parental figures in my life who have also passed coming to my brain. And then I reached out to their daughter to sort of like connect about, we're thinking about our parents because we often think about our parents together.
They were all very close friends, basically family.
Yeah. This is like my, essentially like an aunt and uncle. They're a play aunt and uncle. They're not blood relations. And so I reached out to my play cousin. And then my uncle, who's also passed, came to my mind. And then I ended up in a text conversation with, so he had two children, but then it turned out that he had a third child who was adopted. And she found us, on ancestry.com. She was raised very well. And her parents passed away and her mom's dying wish was find your blood parents. And so she got on ancestry.com and 23andMe and she found us. So it was really cool to meet this new cousin, who's my first cousin. Don't have many of those. And anyway, so we met a few years ago. Sadly, my uncle had just passed away, so he didn't get to meet her. Okay, if you're still paying attention, if you're following so far. So basically, I ended up in a text thread with this cousin of mine, this new cousin in my life, relatively new. She and I have a really great relationship, and we hadn't been in contact for about a year. So we ended up in contact. So she's not dead, but she's connected to us through another one of my dead, my uncle. And then also that morning, I got an email from I'm just aware of how many fucking words this is. Okay. The son of my mom's first husband. I never met this guy. I met him once. I met the husband once when I was a child. Anyway, he's passed. My mom's passed. They're all dead, you know, but anyway, so his youngest son.
So you had met the ex-husband.
When I was a kid once, but I knew.
Right. But not the son.
So the son I met a couple years ago, he emailed me and said, hey, are you the child of Ellen Margren? I'm doing a bunch of research on behalf of my father who passed. My father was Hank Anderson. I think I can say it. Henry Anderson. And, you know, is that you? Is that your mom? Is that who that is? And I'm like, yep, that's. And then we got together. We met. We exchanged a lot of information. They were really cool, interesting people. They're all bohemians, you know. Anyway, so that was a few years ago that I connected with this guy I had never met, whose dad was my mom's first husband. Anyway, but that morning, after not talking to this guy for a few years, he emails me. He's like, hey, remember me, the son of Hank Anderson?
Same day that all these other things are just randomly happening, he just happens
to. Yeah. Same day. Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know, that all happened in one morning.
That's a lot.
So it wasn't like you were having psychic experiences with dead people presently. It was like 3D people contacting you that makes you think about dead people.
Both. The morning started with me and my parents, me in the bathroom. bathroom crying and feeling my parents.
Got it.
And from there, everything spun out like that.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, you reached out to some of them to start these, probably. But then the Hank thing, or the he's like your ex-step half
yeah,
quarter brother. That guy just reached out to you on his own.
Yes. Yes.
It happened to be the same day of all this.
And my cousin, the new cousin, right, who I hadn't talked to in about a year, that was a mutual moment where we both were thinking of each other and contacted each other. And she wanted to contact me, but she was sitting with a friend who was in the process of dying, actually.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then Matthew Perry died.
That is true.
Which ups. Yeah. And then you hear all the lovely testimonials about he was the best of the humans and that whatever.
I'm just saying lots of death.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of death elsewhere that's a lot bigger to cope with right now.
Sure,
too.
And yes, but we don't have to minimize the pain of our present people death just because there's a war. Yes, there's a war. It's bad. But people die here, too. And it's also sad. You know, and I'm just saying, Rami's talking about like there's dead people in the air.
Yeah.
And it's like, and Matthew Perry's a big figure in this culture for better and worse, judge it or don't. But like,
yeah,
his death is kind of like a Friends cast member in America. America, Friends died.
Oh, yeah. Now I get it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
he's
you're right.
A luminary. He's a big deal in this, in our pop culture obsessed, you know, world we live in.
I don't think I realized that. And now I realize it. Now I see what you're saying. Absolutely.
You mean didn't realize what?
Like the significance of his death.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was just some sitcom actor, but it's like he was a major piece of especially white culture in the,
yeah,
in the US.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. And also like, I guess to me more, probably more significant to me personally, just because comedy, like I was coming up psychologically at that time and comedy brain was forming and he was a part of that for me. And then also because I was in sobriety so long and he got sober and has like a harrowing story of 17 or some very large amount of stomach surgeries after getting sober, dying and being brought back to life many times. Like he had a really hard life after that TV show. So I forget that, of course, that's not a common knowledge thing. I just have interest in him. And so because of the sobriety piece and happen to know his spiritual journey is like pretty profound. He had like this incredible God experience when he died. One of the times he died because of a stomach surgery where like he had never been able to connect. We're going to come back to you, Rami, I promise. I know it's a tangent, but it's like related, I feel. He has one of his many stomach surgeries. Can you imagine stomach surgery? Just like stomach surgery.
He had
many, many, exactly. And then in one of them, he could never latch onto like a spiritual concept when he was in sobriety. And of course, it's a central thing in sobriety and or 12-step recovery anyway. And he was dying and said, finally, God, please help me. Just help me, whatever you can do. And then this light showed up and it got bigger and bigger and it enveloped him. And it was the first time he ever felt loved and cared for in his entire life, like including friends, including all the money. He was like, I just suddenly knew what love was. And then I sobbed forever. And it was incredible. Only problem was I got sicker. It's not like God saved me. It was like I met God. And that was cool. And then I had to come back and live my fucking life still. And so just like I have such a soft spot for anybody who's like going through hard shit and then meets God, because I relate to that.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about it, I'm like, you're my friend. In a way, Matthew Perry feels like kind of a soul friend, but you're right.
He was a friend.
And he was a friend.
Anyway. So the veil is thin.
So, okay. So you've been... what do you take from that? What does it leave with you? How does it make you feel? Like, what's up? What does that all do for you or to you?
I mean, I'm really grateful whenever I can feel close to my parents, for sure.
That's nice.
And like I said, I was just like this emailing from this guy, the son of the first husband, he's done all this research. So he's like he found this link to this information that I was just reading before I came on with you, where I was reading about the class my mom used to teach people called emotional mastery, something I know nothing about. So like, I'm just like, I just learned something about my mom just now, you know? Also, I realized in this play that I'm doing that I might kind of be playing my dad. And that it's in the early scenes, there are some moments where when I'm being very cheeky and just a total like charming mavericky person, that I absolutely feel like my dad.
Wow.
And every time those would happen, I'd be like, oh, feel like my dad. But it just occurred to me that I can take it further than just feeling like my dad in a couple moments.
Yeah.
But what if I just play my dad? And my character goes on a huge arc in the span of the show. And what if I just play my dad as a young man and then let him go on that arc?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking about right now. I'm going to plug in my computer before it dies. Hang on a second.
Can you hear me while you're doing that? Because I'm going to say a thing.
I can.
Okay. I had this period at the end of like the first, whatever acting was to me before the pandemic, as it like toward the end of that, I had this period of time where a friend and I were doing a sort of support each other in understanding the spiritual and emotional lessons of the roles we were booking idea. In other words, she was is a therapist who also acts. And we decided like, because of the Jungian idea that says everything outside of you, which we've talked about on the podcast a million times, that everything that shows up in your 3D reality is a reflection of something internal that's going on or hidden to you or both or whatever. We decided, okay, let's play with the Jungian sort of like implications of the roles we book. And we started to both be like, okay, I just booked this, or I'm doing this reading about this. And what is this character a reflection of inside of me? And let me tell you how many fucking times, Rami, I just played my goddamn mom. Mm. I mean, played my mom. And my, you know, all of it for me was a working out of getting in touch with just the, like what would happen for me is I'd be doing it and I'd be like, this bitch was dark. And I was raised inside of this. And the humility and the kind of heartbreak that came from like, I have to admit, like these shows were giving me, they were confronting me so deeply with having to come to terms with how bad it really was. Mm-hmm. Like, and how not okay with, so many of us, what we do when we have hard parents, I'm not talking about you. I can't speak for your parents, obviously. I'm just talking about myself, but, and anyone listening who, when you have hard parents, like real hard, it's too much. It's literally too much to internalize and own how bad it actually was. You can't survive it if you know how bad it is. So yeah. What happens on the healing path is slowly but surely, I had a therapist teach me this. She was like, so you're realizing just how bad your mom was, like how unavailable, how controlling, how mean, how heartless, how sociopathic. And I was like, anyway, so it was just a period. It's so fun to hear you say that, because I just had this real conscious period with a friend of mine where we were like, okay, let's look at the Jungian implications of the roles we book.
Wow. That's so cool. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm very, I can't wait to hear more about how this unfolds for you. Like, what do you take from it? How does it move you? How does it, you know, I also wonder, now I'm getting excited. I wonder as the person who we work together energy healing wise sometimes, how, like knowing what I know about the insides of you, like I've been in Rami's records a fair amount of times. I have a certain experience in there personally, just through my own lens, obviously, but wonder what would happen if you chose to, and this is just a fun idea, it's not whatever, but I wonder what would happen if you channeled him, straight up said like, I open myself.
Oh shit. Wow.
It's just an idea because I bet you could.
Whoa.
I mean, I'm sure you could get plenty out of it just being him, but like, I wonder if you bead him.
If you like let him show up, hey, why don't you come on and ride along, do a ride along.
What a wild idea, right? That's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
I mean, I have to ask if that feels
safe,
almost like, yeah. Like, is that an irresponsible suggestion? And I don't mean that as a criticism. I'm like, wait a minute. That's some shit.
Well, you'd have to learn like two or three easy things about in bringing him in and letting him go. But
and it would also depend on the person and who the person's bringing through. Like,
yeah, I'm not saying all actors in the world go channel people. I'm saying literally.
Terrible idea. In fact, please don't.
I'm not saying that either, but I'm saying Rami, knowing what I know about Rami and their connection to spirit, I just wonder, because I know you'd be capable of it and it would be an interesting experiment. It's probably not a thing you actually want to do. I don't know. But it was just a fun idea based on what I know of your energetic capacities and your developing sense of things.
Yeah. I feel like I'm on the verge of tears right now. Just this whole idea is so, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it feel like it are the tears about it would make you feel close to your dad, or is it more like,
I don't think I have any thoughts around it. I don't think they're not bad tears. They're just like, I think it's just like, yeah, I feel a little mind blown.
Yeah.
At this idea.
I kind of think that's why the question comes through, is it's a question of, it's a healing proposition.
It's a healing proposition. Can you explain that?
Meaning?
It would lead to my healing?
There's healing in it for you and him, for you two to commune in that way, to honor him that way, to give him a voice and a body for a minute, in a way that's like so public and visible and honored. Like people will be clapping for him via you. Did he ever get that in his exactly?
Ugh, wow.
These things are past the ego and they're past. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Something to think about. And we could play with it and talk about it if you want to in some conversations or sessions or whatever. We talk about like how we do it, how to make it safe, if it interests you.
Cool.
There, a part of why the question is here too is like, speaking of this idea of the Jungian notion or the just the spiritual emotional idea of why do certain roles come to us at certain times? You can just be like, yay, a job, and do your job and go home. That's cool. And you could look at what is the external gift? What is being reflected here? What is being offered? What could come up and move through as a result of the presence of this? I'm thinking of you too, Cass, of like these things you've been booking lately. Like, I just wonder what's in there. So you, another, this is off, fully off that topic, but when last you and I spoke, you were starting to work on these lines, which is not a small undertaking. And then you had like 75 auditions to handle.
True.
At the same time, did you get through all that? How's all that going?
At this moment, there is still one there. I have a callback coming up for one of the things I had an audition for.
So you got through the hardest part of the first layers of getting it all on tape and everything.
I did. I am. Yeah. Well past that huge push.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like I want to say this and we can cut it if you'd rather me not say this. So we'll totally cut it if you want us to. But there was something you did during that period that I want to share just for people to hear. Like Rami functions at a pretty high fucking level of professionalism in the theater world. Like they're booking big ass shows at big ass places and it just seems to be getting bigger and more big, like in terms of reputation and name and stuff compared to a lot of anyone we're dealing with, you know, locally or whatever. Anyway, that's my perception of you based on what you tell me about your life. And you had a bunch of auditions all at one time and you were busy learning the lines of your show. And then you actually said to, I think, tell me this is wrong, your agent, like, hey, I can't do this very fancy audition because I literally can't. I have to do my job. I'm doing a job and I got to get the words in my brain and I got these other things. So just the thing of turning down, you know, it's very like for certain types of personalities, it'd be very hard to say, I'm not doing this because letting go of an opportunity, quote, quote, is like unthinkable for some people. And so I heard that story as a very empowering, like, look at you taking care of yourself. Look at you knowing your limits. Look at you not going to be pulled by the river of, but they're fancy. Does that make sense?
Yes. But so there's more story. So it's true. I did turn down that audition. There's another cool thing that happened, which was that I got cast in something.
Yay.
And I didn't wait as it. So I'm a generator, people in the world. I'm a generator and with an emotional authority. And I did not wait.
Through the wave?
Ride and through the wave, the emotional wave. I did not do that. Did I tell you this, Katie? Did I tell you about this?
I don't know what we're saying. So no. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What are the things I said? Okay. So I immediately, so it's a, do I say this on? Okay. So it's a role that I would be very happy to play.
Cool.
At a theater company that is not particularly prestigious, and it would be fine. And it's a role I would be very happy to play. Anyway, I immediately said yes to it without waiting because it was such a relief to not have to do any more auditions.
I so get that.
Conflicted with that. So I was like, oh, if I say yes to this, it's something I'm very happy to do. And yeah. It's two of those auditions off the table. Yay. Like that was the thing I was, okay. So I said yes right away. And then what happened? The emotional wave happened and I was fucked.
I know. God damn it.
Because I should have fucking waited. Because what happened was then my agent calls them and says, my client says yes. And then they're like, okay, great, blah, blah, blah. And they start down the road. God, I should have waited a week. Instead, I went through turmoil, and I rode the emotional wave, even though I'd already made the decision. But the emotional, this is what's been happening my whole life. I've been doing this.
Yes.
Before I knew about human design, you know, is that like, I just go, like, I drive myself crazy with my up and down and like can't make a decision. And I'm in this state of turmoil, as Cassidy knows very well. And regret, it turns into regret.
Can confirm.
Because I made the decision and now I regret the decision.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So I was really frustrated with myself also for knowing, now I know about the emotional wave.
Yes.
And I still fell into the habit of not waiting.
Yes.
So I, after a couple turmoil filled days, I said to my agent, hey, I know I said yes to that thing. And I know I sent you a second email where I doubled down on the yes, but can we pause? And she was like, well, I already said yes. I was like, I know. She's like, okay. And so we paused on that. And then I did do one of those fancy auditions.
Yay.
So one of the fancy auditions, it was just like, no, you're off the table. But the other one, I couldn't stop thinking about.
Okay.
So I did do that fancy audition.
Rock on. See, but this is great. This is just a different story of empowerment and consciousness. Yes. And awareness. Look, nothing wrong with taking the fancy job. We love that. First story in my brain was the narrative around you. You were able to walk away from fanciness. But second story is you learned even more about the wave and how important it is to wade through. How do we learn? That's why they say human design is an experiment you run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they always say, first thing they teach is like, please prove us wrong. Please be, let this all be nonsense. Prove us wrong. Just here's some information. Run the experiment. What happens when you don't wait through the wave? And this is it. This is literally the only way to actually learn it. Cause we don't, as humans, like, you gotta live. You're living. I love it so much. So anyway, so now it's a story of you have a victorious awareness on a new level of the significance and the importance of wading through the wave. And what I would say to the listener is, this is where it becomes possible to not torture ourselves.
Yeah.
With the judgment. There's nothing wrong with Rami for not knowing, and be indecisive is a judgment in this case.
Yeah.
It's not indecision. It's the fucking wave that operates you. You're being operated by it. You're not the one making the wave happen. Then we could blame you. Do you want this wave? No. Do you make the wave happen? No. The wave occurs. So Rami, off the hook. It's not your fault. You can do nothing about it because you just proved you can do nothing about it because you acted against it and still it occurred. And so, not your fault. So anyway, now you know, okay, shit, I'm gonna fucking wait for real next time. I'm gonna wait for real. And then another positive part, I'll just wrap up with this. Then you got the opportunity to listen to more information about the wave, because let's look at this. I can't do the fancy show. I don't have time or energy. That's the low end of the wave. Then time goes by and you're like, yeah, but it would be really cool. But no, I can't. I don't have time, but it would be really cool, but I can't do it. There's no time, but it would be cool. And then it lands on, yeah, I really want to do that. So you were dealing with the wave on two levels.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you. I think it's all progress.
And you made the original choice to accept it out of, I would say, probably some version of like panic and I just wanted to get this shit out of the way. So to make your life, quote, easier, you made that choice, but it actually didn't.
That's so true.
Because then you got stuck in a different loop.
Yes.
You were still stuck and wasting time and spinning your wheels. You were just doing it because of what you decided as opposed to because you had all this work to do.
Yes. That's very, very true.
So then you just re-signed up for the work, unfortunately, or fortunately.
Yeah. So anyway, stay tuned. We'll see what happens.
Next. So have you officially said no now to the first thing you took?
No, because I'm waiting.
Okay.
You're on pause with them. They're just hoping you'll stick with your yes.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that they're hoping.
Yeah.
Sure they are.
Yeah.
They got a backup.
Rock on.
I know that I am on here because of the questions that I asked the email.
Oh, right. Sure.
We should probably get to them. Do you want to?
I do. They relate to the whole dead thing.
Let's do it.
Dead people.
Okay. Let me put my tap shoes on so I can dance around in the Akashic Records. Dancy. Okay, hold on. Let me make this be. I feel like this is going to make noise for some reason. Were you going to say something, Cassidy?
No, I said it. I think I was just going to say I could look up the email, but I don't need to because the person is here.
I'm the person.
You are the person.
Would it be helpful for you to be reminded of the specifics that you wrote down, or do you have it? Do you feel?
Oh, they're there.
They've been talking.
They're just fun mysteries to delve into.
Okay. I can go a little past two if you guys can.
I'm fine.
All right.
I'm wondering, Katie, shall I talk about the people involved and if that makes a difference? No, never mind. I'll let you do your thing. Sorry.
What do you mean? What?
I was just wondering if it mattered, like if I told you what the questions were so that you knew whose records you wanted to open.
Okay. We can just pop in once we're in yours. We'll pop in it, but it's a good question. Yeah. If there's somebody else we have to include, we can include it. I want to put a pin in a thing, Cassidy. Will you remind me next episode? I want to put a pin in a Cassidy talk. I have a thing I want to ask you about.
Okay.
But it's a whole sidetrack, so I'm not going to go there now, but it's on my mind. So I'm just, if you think of it, remind me.
Try and remember next time. Hey, you want to talk about something?
Okay. Yes. Okay, so we'll take a couple breaths into the low belly. And we'll just allow the body to relax into whatever chair you're in, Rami. Breathing low and slow in the belly, allowing the shoulders to drop a little, noticing any places of tension in the body, and just choosing to allow them to release or let go or relax. And we'll breathe, inhale, filling that sort of balloon of space in the low belly each time we inhale, and releasing air from the balloon of the low belly each time we exhale. And we'll start to connect with the bottoms of our feet, feeling each toe in contact with the earth below us, or the sock or the shoe or the ground, whatever it may be, and the balls of the feet and the heels of the feet. And we'll see those spinning foot chakras start to spin open at the bottom center of each foot, like a tornado of light, expanding wider and wider at the bottom center of each foot, until the entire surface area of the bottom of each foot is just an open window, connecting the light body of you to the light body of the earth. I'm getting some information about the full moon and the sadness, so I'll share that too. And we'll see those tree roots we imagine extending through the open window of each foot start to shoot down into the earth. So 500 tree roots of light extending into the earth through the open window of each foot. 500 roots extending down and in through the left foot. 500 roots extending down and in through the right foot. And we'll watch as 1,000 roots of light anchor down and into the earth, and down and in, and down and in. And we'll see everything from our feet up, becoming a tree of conscious light. We'll watch the trunk of that tree expand left and right, forward and back, and upwards into the heavens. And this trunk just gets wider and deeper and taller. So we can't see its edges anymore. But we know that there are hundreds of thousands of branches growing off the top and millions of leaves growing off of those branches. And from here, we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of Divine Light, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Gabrielle Janine Margron in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Gabrielle Janine Margron through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones of Gabrielle Janine Margron have for them. Yeah, and so the veils are thin. Yes, and you are connected quite deeply. And this is an opportunity moment for everyone to grieve what has not been grieved. So this particular full moon has been about activating and making possible connection with sorrow, grief, sadness that has not been processed. Mm-hmm. So don't get caught, all of you, Katie, Cassidy in particular, with thinking that this particular thing that occurred today is the thing you're actually sad about. The opportunity is to just feel into the sadness and allow it to be there and allow it to move through, trusting that it's about much older, much deeper pieces, some of which are family lineage oriented. And that's what Rami's bringing to the table today, is the connection to the lineage. Yeah. And so what you're feeling now, let's sink even further into it. We'll keep feeling this.
What's going on?
So where is this pain? Where is this emotion happening for you in the body?
I just feel myself convulsing, but I'm not like whole body, maybe. I'm not feeling any tightness or anything.
Okay, let's stay with it. This is a certain amount of light attempting to download itself into you. And this is the parts of you that are getting blown out of the way. Feel if you can into the solar plexus, third chakra, and the heart. You know, as we were revealing when you had your last guest, Michael Ray Wisely, the dead, the human dead who become souls, they're closer by for some of you than you could say the pure source consciousness of the divine itself. They're emanations of that light, but they're individuated expressions of it that are closer to you in your 3D realm. So they come, they become more, obvious or accessible to you when you're in a moment of activation like what you're in, Rami. And this is what was happening for Michael as well, as he was being actually poked by the dead to freaking awaken, is how they say it. They're like, "You wake the fuck up? Fine, we'll send your wife in the form of chills, okay? Wake up now." And he's slowly starting to do a little bit of it. In your case, it's more like, it's almost like the veils come down, and then you're like, oh, there's all these dead people. Here they are. They're just right here, all these dead people. And then you come here, and it's a more direct communion or connection with Source itself, which then just immediately starts to move everything out of your field that isn't in alignment with that. And here we are. And that's what I mean before when I'm saying the thing about knowing what I know about your being and your ability to channel, should you choose to do so, it's this. You're the kind of person who, you know, we open your records and boom, stuff is happening because you're open and the time is ripe for it with you. With the Libra connection you have so much emotional, you have access to your emotions and your sensitivity and your vulnerability. You mislabel it regularly and judge yourself for aspects of your emotionality that we wish you would not ever do again. Instead of saying, why am I so blank? You could say, what's right about this that I'm not getting? What's right about all these feelings I'm having, this uncertainty, this riding of the wave? What's right about this that I'm not getting? And I'm going to choose to see this as part of the beauty of me rather than part of the problem of me. You are so even more of an emotional, sensitive soul than you've felt free or safe to be in this lifetime. And part of what you're going through is an activation to engender more trust and faith in that fact that you get to be tapped in, sensitive, present, emotional, and that your emotions are not working against you. They're here for you. This is a message for all of you. This is for everyone. The emotions, if you have them, they're here for you. Remember that emotions are like liquid doorways between spirit and body. Body is clay, spirit is light, emotions are water. Liquid doorway. You need water to soften clay so light can come in. Any questions, Rami?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. This is an explanation. My parents, I was conceived either when my parents were broken up or were breaking up, or my existence broke them up. I don't know the answer because there's nobody to ask. So I'm curious. I don't care, but I'm curious just for fun what the answer might be. I have more questions too.
So the question is, did they break up before you were born, because you were born, or after you were born?
My parents didn't want to have a child and didn't mean to conceive me. And it's possible that I was conceived after they were already broken up.
That's a no. Go ahead.
Okay, great. It's possible I was conceived when things were just, there was a lot of strife between them, but they still had good sexual chemistry.
That's also a no.
Okay. So is it that I was conceived when they were still actively a couple?
That's a yes.
All right. Is it true that... Okay, so the next thing I know is that I was going to be aborted, and that seemed to be both of their choice, although my mom changed her mind. There is one story that says that my godparents were driving her to the clinic and she was crying and she changed her mind and they turned around and went home.
Okay.
There's another story that says my dad was driving her to the clinic when she changed her mind and there was a moment where he heard her for the first time.
Okay. I get more of a thing on the first one.
Okay.
The relatives were driving her and she did have a... What I also get is she was really wrestling with it the whole time. She wanted to be the kind of person who has choice and is empowered and does what they need to do. But everything in her heart the whole time was going like, but I feel this being. I love this being. I feel and love this being. What do I do with this torn thing I have? But understand the part of her that was saying the notion of the abortion really in your case came almost from a not self-proving of strength. You know what I mean? Look at me. I'm strong. I can do this.
Yeah.
But the heart surrender said like, no, I not only can't I, but I don't want to. So, okay.
That's like the ultimate emotional wave.
Right?
She was fucking dealing with. It's high stakes. Is it that? Okay. So one story says that my dad gave my mom an ultimatum, him or me.
Nope.
Okay. This is great. But I know they separated before I was born.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who's him? Him or me?
my dad or me. The having a baby or staying together.
That's a big no.
Okay. But I do know that my parents separated before I was born.
Yeah, that's a yes.
I know that my dad never thought he could have kids, and so he didn't believe that I was his.
That's a yes.
Okay. The legend goes, when he came to visit us in the hospital, us meaning my mother and me as a newborn, my mom put my little baby hand in his, and that's when he knew I was his child.
That's the biggest yes so far that you've said.
Amazing. Okay. Do I have other questions about, like, what happened?
I just want to say something, too. This is something that I'm getting here, is that, like, you know, how old were they when they had you?
She was 36 and he was 42.
Okay. Well, I shouldn't have asked that, because that's just my mind wanting to know, because I'm in judgment of them a little bit for being, and I apologize for that. I just went to judgment for a second.
No worries.
But, like, they're, like, being a little fucking, they both were being a little bravado-y through the whole fucking thing. And I'm a little like, guys, okay. But anyway, so with him, it's almost the way they show it to me is like he was throwing a little fit, like a little temper tantrum of like, this can't be mine because I can't. He was throwing a fit and he met you and he went, oh, it's like you're a being, you are emanating so much love and light. Babies tend to, but you in particular really do. That it melted his ego enough that he could go, oh, I'm just going to be love now. Just love. It's just love.
Nice.
But they both were doing this ego dance. I'm strong. I don't need a baby. It can't be my baby. Like, I don't have babies. And then it was just, you just melted everybody.
I mean, neither one of them would be told what to do.
Yeah.
It's not a thing for either one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would need spiritual intervention.
Like, yeah.
A baby.
Like a baby.
Like a fucking baby here.
It's kind of the ultimate spiritual intervention people get. It's either somebody dies or somebody's born. Because it's directly from spirit. And it's something you have to deal with in your 3D reality that puts you deeper on your spiritual path. Kids get people sober. They get people getting their shit together. Like, everything changes once you have kids. That's how powerful of a spiritual sort of infestation it is. Like, kids are this divine light shugunk. You're going to deal with this now. And it deepens our spiritual connection. And that was the whole point here. Mm. And you fulfilled it.
Wow.
So you didn't ruin everything and break everything up and whatever. You activated them both to a deeper degree on their path.
Nice.
Okay. Okay. What else?
Okay. So right now, as this wasn't one of the mystery questions I had, but my grandmère keeps coming up in my brain right now. My dad, my grandmère, my dad's mother keeps popping into my brain. I don't know why.
Do you have a connection with her?
Sure. I mean, I was close to my grandma and grandpère, both of my dad's parents. I was close to them, but they passed away when I was a single digit. So, but I was close to them.
Which single digit?
Don't know. I know. I just know that I was under 10. I don't know how old I was.
Oh, okay.
But my dad's relationship with her was pretty fraught.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, both of my parents had fraught relationships with their mothers. Anyway, she was just popping into my brain. I don't know.
Here, and she's one of the dead who's been with you lately.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Do you have more for me about that?
well, anything you want to know?
Is she with me often, or is this just like the veil? Everybody, come on, get on the boat of Rami.
It's kind of not either of those, but she's not with you often. She is with you now. Let me just sit with this for a second. This is really interesting. spawns a question I have, which we'll ask in a second. So similar, actually, interestingly, to the Michael Ray Wisely thing again, this is a moment in time for you where members of your lineage are present with your soul's journey, because your soul is aligning itself more intimately with the light. So the lineage folks come closer and closer to your soul as it gets connecteder and connecteder to the light. So they're lining up a lot of your lineage is lining up in the pole of light that is your soul's connection to the all that is. They're doing this to facilitate more activation. And so that you know that what's happening is real. And so that you get the connection between family and God, or family and the universal flow of love. In other words, they're not just dead people. They're beings who are, certain ones have more to contribute from the other side. And those that have something to contribute, it was always part of your karma that they are part of your activation. So they're close to you now because they're contributing to the activation. So in other words, like more light, you become more light and then more light comes to you. So that's what's happening. So if you keep going on your path, there will be more visitation and more awareness of things like the dead and more gifts and abilities and everything that comes with that. The sensitivity, the feelings, the needing to practice less judgment of yourself, and so on and so on. You in particular might start to really, I know we've said this through Katie here before, like you are probably going to know some, you're going to start to know more things without knowing how you know them, AKA awareness or psychic ability. Okay.
That makes me happy. I would like that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Okay. Another just little mystery question. I hate to even shift off this amazing topic, but
it's fine. Yeah.
Was my mom, Ellen Margren, legally married to her first husband, Henry Anderson?
Yes.
Okay, great. That's a mystery too, because there's reasons why. Do you know why her name would be on the list of, on the Free Speech Movement Archives deceased list, like how it got there? There's no information next to it. It just is there.
They give me a yes. I have 1,000 questions. So what is that list?
Mm-hmm.
What is that list?
Let's see.
How did you come about that list?
So in an email from the son of her first husband, he's been doing all this research. He's trying to get more information because like me, people died and there's no one he can ask.
I see.
So, he found her name there on this Free Speech Movement Archives website dedicated to the Free Speech Movement vets. And on the deceased list is her name. And he just was like, maybe if I knew how it got there, I could, I don't know. He was trying to get information.
So this was a group of people fighting for free speech?
Yeah.
In the 60s?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Can you tell me your mom's name again?
Driver's license name, Ellen Jo Margren.
Okay. Okay. So Ellen Jo Margren, can we connect with Ellen Jo Margren? We're going to drop you in the records of Ellen Jo Margren. Interesting. I think your mom had a lot of fixation in her design. A lot of definition. You know.
Me and Cass are like smiling and like...
We're just chuckling over here.
chirping at each other.
That checks out.
Not as much, not as many open centers.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, strong. Already I forgot. Hold on. Ellen, Jo, Margaret. So can you just tell me, why were you on that list?
Seems like a really silly question, knowing how much more there is.
She's got an attitude about it, I'll tell you that much. She's like, well, because I fought for rights and then I died. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's all.
Not my question. I would not ask that question. It's not my question. Let's be real.
But maybe I'm not understanding what exactly is being asked here. What does he think he's going to learn by that? What does he want to know?
I think he wants to know who put her on that list so that he can follow more leads.
To find more information about what?
About her and that.
Okay.
The time. Yeah. Yeah. He's a deep, he's maybe, I don't know if he's a five or what, but he's like going way in.
Okay. Fucking fives. Jesus.
Love them.
They're pretty great.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
She was involved with a lot of stuff with this group. She did a lot of work for them. She was involved with, had a relationship with that was kind of like collegial and professional and friendly, but appropriate with the higher ups there. And they respected her. She did a lot of work there. And then they put her name on the thing because they valued her. So he could, if he cares to, look into who was in charge at the time. And they would know me. They would know her.
But it would be someone who, when they became aware of her death in 2008, would go like, oh, we got to add this person to that list.
That's a good point.
Or did it work just more like they've got these rosters, and every once in a while they go through the rosters and they go, hey, let's see who's still alive and who's dead. Should we move anybody from this roster to that roster?
It's more like there was a lot of good that was done and she had relationships with the people who were in charge at the time, all the way through her life. They all stayed connected. Like, I think pretty darn connected. So then whoever was in charge at the time of putting her on that list had been a part of her time when she was most heatedly involved. And so she was just a really valued member. Did a lot of good work. A lot of work.
Does anything stick out that you could tell me about? Any specifics that you could mention?
Of what kind of work was done?
Yeah, just like any little tidbits.
Will you tell me the name of the thing again? The free speech?
Free Speech Movement Archives. That's the page.
Which supposedly started at Cal in the 60s at Berkeley.
The Free Speech Movement did, yeah.
Yeah.
But, right. It started at...
I'm going to throw a name at you in a sec, Katie.
Okay, go ahead.
Would it behoove us to talk to Daniel Savio?
No.
Son of Mario Savio.
I just get a no.
Okay. Mario was the sort of figurehead at the front. He was one of the biggest firebrand.
That is true. Yes, and now I'm looking at the page more and I see that this is very specifically archives about that actual free speech movement in the 60s, started at Cal, started by Mario, or with Mario Savio at the one of the forefront. Yeah.
Here's all I can tell you about this. She was involved at the organizational level. She was involved at the fighting on the streets level with the pickets and out on the streets level. She was out marches. She was involved on a lot of levels. What I'm taken by is how, with all this fixation in her design, she's like very much what she is and very much strong and clear. And it was almost like very not romantic for her. The whole thing was, this is what's right. You do what's right. I have the energy for it. Here we go. Get busy doing what's right. These people sitting around and they're not doing anything. Let's go. And there was anger, you know, understandably, at everything. And a lot of energy to just, and all of it was getting funneled into, at this time, at this heated time that she's being honored for here in this document or this group. Because she put a lot of time and sweat and energy into this. It's interesting because then when we look at, she then was doing all this, was doing all this healing work too, right?
When she was in her 30s, she was in a car accident, a fatal car accident. She died for a few moments or whatever. And my understanding is she became a spiritual person after that.
Huh. That's true. Well, anyway, I wish we had had Human Design to share with her at the time, because all I was going to say about that is there was a lot she was able to heal for herself, but there was a lot of stuff she was trying to heal that never should have been being tried to heal. It was just her. Mm-hmm. She thought she had to heal herself out of herself, which a lot of us do. Like, if I were less like this and like this, I'd be more spiritually connected, or I'd be a better person or a kinder person or a gentler person. And it wasn't in the cards. It wasn't correct. It wasn't the point. I'm going to say this, though. I have paused saying this because it's very specific, but she might have been a projector with every center defined except for the sacral motor. I know someone else like this in this lifetime. So in other words, there's a lot of fixation in the design, right? But they don't have the sacral motor that keeps you going, going, going. But they have so much definition that there's a lot of who they are. You could say there's a lot of Ellen. Ellen is a lot of things. There's a lot of qualities that make up an Ellen, and they are fixed and they are what they are. But then that sacral motor wasn't there, which is how she could connect to the divine, is through that open center.
Mm.
But she kind of, I think, saw her lack of openness as a problem.
Yeah.
And it was really her gifts. And it was what she was meant to lean into. Luckily, she did lean into it, even though she thought it was a problem. She knew how to use her definition well to serve the world.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's funny. It seems like such a waste to have you like channel my mom for that question when there, I just feel like there's a million other more wonderful questions that I could
have. Well, I've got 4 more minutes. Want to know anything else?
I'm kind of interested in pursuing, and I don't know if I have a question at this moment, this thing about the car accident, because we already talked about it. The near-death experience leading to spiritual awakening, like with our friend Matthew Perry. But yeah, I don't know that I... Do you have any questions about that, Cass? I don't know why I'm asking you that, but...
About your mom and how it led to her spiritual awakening?
Yeah.
I had never heard that about the car accident. That was new information to me. I don't feel like it's something she talked about that often.
Mm.
And she loved to tell stories. So in a sense, I almost want to wonder like why that story didn't come up.
I mean, it came up enough times when I was a kid. Like
when you were younger, yeah. Story
many times. Yeah, yeah. She became a healer. Boy, I don't even know. I don't know right now.
Was she... Maybe this is a question for her or not. Was she as spiritually, was she as psychic as her child?
Mm-hmm.
Because Rami was hella psychic when you were younger. And now more again. Right? Am I wrong?
No, I'm just listening. That's just my listening face.
Yeah. I mean, I know Ellen had a lot of processes that she was involved with. She was really into Enneagram. She was really into the emotional mastery. But I never got a sense that she herself was necessarily like being a channel or being psychic or a sensitive. She felt very 3D to me. That's my perception, though.
She definitely had some abilities after the accident. She didn't quite understand them, so she was studying to understand. Yeah, Was she psychic as a child? No. Not really. It was more like after this thing happened, it broke her open. Be safe to say one of the frustrations of her life was, it's hard to understand this, but like, where you have fixation, you kind of can't be open. Where you're cracked open through trauma, you can be open. And then if you heal the trauma, you sort of, in a way, get less open in that place. So it's everywhere we're open in our design that we have access to the divine. So she was getting better and better and losing her connection and feeling like she was doing something wrong.
Mm.
But it was just, she was becoming herself.
Mm.
But there was nobody to frame it that way for her.
I know, and I also know how frustrating it was for her to not have that motor that you're talking about, like to not be able to complete things and to not,
mm-hmm.
like, I know that she judged herself pretty hard for that.
Okay, I have to close the records now, you guys. I'm sorry, I have a 2:30.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
If you want to come back and we talk to her more, we certainly can. Anytime.
Thank you.
All right. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return Gabrielle Jeanine Margron and Ellen Jo Margron's energy to them.
Row?
Oh,
sorry. I'm just responding to the sensation I'm having.
Oh. Her name was Ellen Jo Margron?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, great.
Sorry.
Please return Gabrielle Jeanine Margron and Ellen Jo Margron's energy to themselves. Return them both. Well, return Rami to their complete human wholeness and Ellen to their complete whatever wholeness. I say return all their energy to themselves. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Ellen Jo Margron and Gabrielle Jeanine Margron are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Gabrielle Jeanine Margron and Ellen Jo Margron are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Gabrielle Jeanine Margron and Ellen Jo Margron are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I think we should do like a whole long ass chit chat with her another time.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I've got so many questions. And then I didn't ask any questions. It was just like, I got so overwhelmed. And like, all I want to do is like, love her, you know?
Yeah, that's sweet. Beautiful. Well, we could do some of that too.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Love you. Thanks for coming back.
I'll see you later, Katie.
Yeah, you will. All right. Bye, everybody. Do your work.
Bye. Do all your work. I love you both.
Bye.
Asking for all of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
I'm not great at the advice. Can I interest you in a sarcastic comment? Some cheese.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
That's just my listening face.